I'd like to welcome the visitors that we have with us today. We're all glad that you came to worship with us. If there's anything that we can be of service to you with, be sure and get with us. If you'd like to study more from the Word of God, we would love to do that with you, maybe on a private basis or whatever. But we're glad that you're here to worship with us. Amen. If you would, turn in your Bibles to John, the 15th chapter. We're going to take the bulk of our lesson from this verse, not even a passage. Should have the lesson today on miracles. It'll be a miracle if I get through this sermon without coughing my head off. But we're going to be looking at John, the 15th chapter, verse 11. And Colin read that scripture to us. It was Jesus speaking with his disciples. And it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Jesus is talking here with his disciples, and he wants his joy to be in them. You know, we all want joy. We all want to be joyful in life. You know, some of the things that bring us joy, and I look at this, I'm thinking, what was some of the things that brought Jesus joy? It wasn't riches. He didn't have many earthly possessions. He didn't get a raise at work. He didn't get to go on an elaborate vacation, him and his family, and enjoy that. And I started thinking, what was his joy? And he wanted his joy to be in them. Some of the things that could have been included in his joy was the fact of he knew who he was. You look at people today, well, anytime. I've known people that spent many, many years of their lives trying to figure out who they were. Going after this trail for a while, trying to find themselves. There's a lot of people that go through life and never really know who they are. Jesus knew who he was. And he wanted that for his disciples. The joy of knowing where he's going. One of the aspects, and I don't want to get off on a trail of pop psychology or anything, but one of the struggles that people have of not knowing who they are is they don't know where they're going. They drift through life. They just kind of drift like a leaf in water, following whatever path the water's going. They're not taking the path themselves. They're just following what others have set in motion. Jesus had the joy of fully knowing where he was going. In spite of all this turmoil, the fact that he was in a situation because of who he was, he had the joy of knowing where he was going and what the end result would be. He had the joy of knowing his purpose. There's people that will live their entire life without ever knowing, what was my purpose in life? Well, why am I even here? They look back and they're saddened because they didn't see any impact of their life. Jesus knew His purpose. It's wrapped up with knowing who He is and where He's going. He had the joy of strength. Jesus didn't win any bodybuilding championship contests. He didn't win any powerlifting contest in His life. But you talk about a man of strength. It's Jesus. He had strength inside Himself. We in the world sometimes get caught up with a world's definition of strength, of power, of glory, things like that. And it wasn't the same for Jesus. Jesus had strength. And a lot of it had to do with those previous things. Knowing who He was, where He was going, what His purpose was. And kind of contributing to that, He wanted the joy, His joy for His disciples, the communication He had with the Father. That communication that Jesus had with God the Father was tremendous, and it gave Him great joy. Jesus was a prayer away from the Father. And He wanted that for us. Let's look at these individually. The fact that the joy of who He was, knowing that in Matthew 16, starting in verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus knew that. He wanted His disciples, His followers, to know that and have the joy that who you are following is not going to lead down an empty, dead-end path. In Matthew 26, Jesus said, He's at His trial. And it says, but Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to Him, I put you under oath by the living God. I find this so funny, almost humorous, that these high priests are putting Jesus under oath of the living God. I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Jesus knew who He was. He wanted His followers to know that. In Romans 8, Paul writes, starting in verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we also may be glorified. Jesus knew who He was. He was the Son of God. As Christians, as members of His body, and we become members of that kingdom when we are baptized. And when we become baptized into His body, we are heirs also. Jesus wanted the joy that He had as being the Son of God. He wanted His followers, His disciples, to have that joy. Paul tells us Christians, we're fellow heirs. We are heirs. We are children of God. Jesus wanted that joy in us. He had the joy. He wanted us to have it also. He had the joy of knowing where He was going. With all the things Jesus was facing on earth, He had in the back of His mind, He knew the destination, where it was all going to end up. In Mark 16, 19, it says, "So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, He was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God." Jesus knew the destination of where He was going. And if you know the end result, it makes it easier to go through some of the things that you go through. There is no comparison of anything we could say on earth that would relate to the joy of being able to go to heaven. I think of a woman in childbirth. I don't know of any woman that's ever said it was pleasant to go through. But that end result of laying that baby in your arms, it was worth it. And it was temporary and worth it. Anything that Jesus went through on this earth, anything we go through on this earth, is worth it because Jesus had the joy of knowing where He was going. He wanted us to have that joy also. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John 5:13, he says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." That joy can be in us, just like it was for Jesus. Jesus had the joy of knowing His purpose. I am a person, I love having goals. I love having a purpose during a day. I love to have a full day. I've never, ever been much one for just kind of sitting and kicking back. If I am sitting, I'm usually doing one or two other things while I'm doing that. I've been hyperactive all my life. But to have a purpose, that joy at the end of the day, a joy for me is to know I got a lot of the things on my list done. That's success. This was a successful day. Jesus knew His purpose. The purpose that had been set in motion in eternity. In Matthew 5:17, he told His followers, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but fulfill." His whole purpose was to fulfill all the things that had been written about the Messiah. The whole Old Testament is a story. The Messiah is coming. Jesus is here. a lot of people were concerned that Jesus is trying to do away with the law of Moses. He says, I'm not doing away with the law of Moses. I've come to fulfill the law and the prophets. All those things that had been said, I'm here to fulfill. That's my purpose. He wants us to have a purpose. And our purpose is to do His will. One of the last recorded things that we have about Jesus before He ascended back into heaven was, we call it the Great Commission today. And in Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority. All authority. Not, I've been given a little bit, or you know, I'm in charge of this little thing. All authority has been given me. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. That is our purpose, is to fulfill the commands of Jesus. Jesus has given us a command to take His word, to take the word of God to others. Well, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do in this life. A lot of people search. A lot of people search to find their niche in a career. That's fine. I hear that people change their majors in college numerous times. I hear that the average American changes, we're not just talking jobs, we're talking total career changes numerous times in life. I'm not talking, that's normal. Our purpose in this life is to serve God, is to spread that word to others that somebody has done to us. Somebody or people have been instrumental in bringing the Word of God to you. Family members, Bible class teachers, somebody in a personal Bible study, expounding on something you've read, maybe a co-worker that you could ask questions to and led to a Bible study. Our purpose is to spread that Word of God to others and to make disciples and followers of Jesus just like we have become. And Jesus assures us He will be with us in that process. He had the joy of His strength. Matthew 27, starting in verse 27, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around Him. And they stripped Him and put a scarlet robe on Him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on His head and a reed in His right hand. And they bowed the knee before Him and mocked Him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Then they spat on Him and took the reed and struck Him on the head. And when they had mocked Him, they took the robe off Him, put His own clothes on Him, and led Him away to be crucified. And in verse 38, then two robbers were crucified with Him, one on the right and the other on the left. And those who passed by and blasphemed Him, wagging their heads and saying, You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priest also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others. himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. That's strength. I'm glad Jesus was the one to take upon our sins rather than me. Because I don't have the strength of composure that Jesus did. The mocking, the beatings. To have the power at your disposal and not use it. That's strength. I would have been smoting everybody in sight. Mocking. Oh, you say you're the Son of God. If you are, come down. Oh, you want to see if I'm the Son of God or not? I will show you. He didn't. He demonstrated his strength. You talk about inner strength. And a lot of it came from knowing his purpose. From knowing that this is only temporary. From knowing who he was. That he is the Son of God. And his purpose set forth from the beginning of time was to do this. You talk about strength to go through with it all. That's what strength is. And he wanted us. Not only did he have that joy of having strength, he wants us to have that strength also. In Philippians 4:13, Paul from a prison cell would write, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we get to that maturity that Paul had, in adversity, in a trying situation, where we can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that's strength. That's the strength God, that Jesus wanted his followers to have. Romans 8:31, Paul also wrote to the Christians in Rome, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? When we realize that aspect, when we understand that God is on our side, that's where the strength is. It's not in what we can do. Because if it's left up to that, we're all going to be failures. We could have come up with our own sacrifice. But we couldn't. But when we realize that if God is for us, what can man do to us? They can kill us. Big deal. We've got eternal life like the Son of God did. We have the joy, just like Jesus, of communication with God the Father. In Matthew 26, verses 39 and 42, Jesus uses the term, O my Father, in his prayers to God. I said earlier that Jesus, and part of his strength came from the fact that he was only a prayer away from the Father. He didn't have to go out and do things himself. He was a prayer away. We are a prayer away from the power of God, from communicating with God the Father. In Hebrews 4, verse 16, I'm looking forward to getting to this part in our Wednesday night study in Hebrews. There are so many things that I am excited to get to in our Wednesday night study. If you're not in the habit of coming to Wednesday night study, I encourage you. I think a few years ago we started kind of calling the peak of the week. It is to get to come together on Wednesday evening with other brothers and sisters in Christ and study the Word of God. It's a shot in the arm for me to get through the week. So if you're not used to coming Wednesday nights, I encourage you, if you can, come. In Hebrews 4:16 it says, "Let us therefore come boldly, boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We can approach the throne of God in prayer just like the Son of God did. And I just wonder, why don't I take access to that more often? Why don't I take advantage of that more often? I am this far away from communicating with God at any given moment. And I know I don't take as much advantage of that as I should. Jesus wanted His followers, His disciples, to have His joy. And I want to leave it with the question, do we have His joy? The joy of knowing who we are. We're children of God. Knowing our purpose. Knowing the fact that we have strength at our disposal. That we can communicate with God. But to have this, we've got to be Christians. To my knowledge, the majority of us in here are. If you're not a Christian, that can be remedied today. We become a Christian, we are added to the church when we come into contact with the blood of Christ in baptism. Those of us that are Christians, we have so much of His joy right at our disposal. Let's take advantage of it. If you need to respond to the invitation in any way, please come forward while Steve leads us in the invitation song.